All right, 1 Samuel chapter 29, please. 1 Samuel chapter 29. Okay, I'm going to start with a sermon illustration. You'll probably think that it's kind of corny, but bear with me. There was a bat, cave bat, named Betty in the forest. Hi, Mark. She was all alone. She didn't have a friend. She wanted to be around with the animals or birds. One day she went to the animal section and she said, "Hey guys, I'm one of you. I have a ears, nose, and mouth just like any one of you." And the wolf looked at him, and all of them looked at him. There was an owl with a graduation hat and, you know, tassel dangling, and the eyeglasses. "Oh, you're not in a million years. You're not one of us because you have wings like a bird." And Gray Wolf looked at him, looked like he's hungry, and he's licking his lips. He said, Bat was thinking, "I don't like the way he's looking at me, so I better get out of here." So she went away and looking for the birds. She looked for them high and low, and she found them in the middle of the air, high above the forest. So she went to this group of birds, and she said, "Hey, guys, I'm one of you. See, I have wings just like you." And one of them said, "No, you're not, because you have ears and nose and mouth like animals." And Betty did not like the brown eagle, big brown eagle looking at her. So she scurried away. So she became all alone, only at night, flying alone. In a way, backslidden Christians are like that. They don't feel right amongst us, amongst the other believers, because when they hang around the believers, the backslidden Christians realize that, "I don't want to do what these believers want to do, because that's not what I want to do. I don't get to have fun, the fun I want." But at the same time, if she could try to hang around with a bunch of unbelievers, Holy Spirit convicts their heart constantly. And then once the unbelievers find out that that person is a believer and born-again Christian, and they kind of look at you over their nose and say, "I thought you were born-again Christian. You do this?" So they are very uncomfortable. They cannot find identity from this side of the believers, nor can they find their own identity from the unbeliever's side. Am I making sense to you? Let's stop and pray. Father, many believers who claim to be a born-again Christians walk away from you. And some of them publicly denounce their faith in Jesus Christ. And some of them walk away and never to come back. Some of them have to go through a difficult time to realize that they've been missing out all this, your kindness and goodness, and most of all, your love through Jesus Christ. Father, we not only want to stay with you, we want to stay with you forever. Give us a steadfastness in our heart. Give us diligence in our heart. And give us complete faith in you. We know that the faith comes from you also. It's not something we generate. You make it happen. Father, we are asking you to guide us and teach us, ingrain the truth we are going to learn tonight, that we may never depart from you. At your word, once we taste the goodness of God, where would we go? We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Start with chapter 28, verse 1. Remember, last week I said that we're going to leave verse 1 and 2 of chapter 28 behind so that we can catch up when we start chapter 29. You're going to see why. Now, it happened in those days, the Philistines gathered their armies together for war to fight with Israel. And Achish said to David, "You assuredly know that you will go out with me to battle, you and your men." And David said to Achish, "Surely you know that your servant can do." And Achish said to David, "Therefore I will make you one of my chief guardians forever." Stop there. And then we'll skip to verse 1 of chapter 29, please. Then the Philistines gathered together all their armies at Aphek, and the Israelites encamped by the fountain, which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed in review by the hundreds and by thousands. But the David and his men passed in review at the rear with Achish. Then the princess of the Philistines said, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" And Achish said to the princess of the Philistines, "Is this not David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, who has been with me these days or these years? And to this day I have found no fault in him since he defected to me." Verse 4, "But the princes of the Philistines were angry with him. So the princes of the Philistines said to him, 'Make this fellow return, that he may go back to the place which you have appointed for him, and do not let him go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he become our adversary. For with what could he reconcile himself to his master, if not with the head of these men? Is this not David, of whom they sang to one another in dance, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000. Stop there and give me your interpretation, please. Interpretation, not observation. Okay, that's observation. I want you to come up with the interpretation that applies to Bob Shisgreen. Yes, Mikey? Mm-hmm. Are you telling me not complete truth is a deception? Half truth is a deception? Oh, there is a half of truth. Half of them is a truth. Ladies, any of you ladies were have somewhat pregnant before? Yeah, either you're 6 feet or you're not, right? Okay, good. Who else? You guys have studied. Come on, give me your interpretation. Yes, Pat? You gave me that look. Specious. One line generates another lie, doesn't it? Okay. Who else? Good one. Let me ask you this question. Is David in good situation? What he is supposed to do in this war? Whom he was supposed to fight against? No. Okay, he's supposed to kill Israelite. And who are they? His own people, right? Okay. So he is in the awkward position. Yes, Manny. Go ahead. I can finish it later. Okay. What I see here is that when we turn away from God, we end up in the awkward and difficult situation. And eventually it will cut up with us. Another thing I find is that though we may run from the Lord, we cannot outrun the providence of God. Why do I say the providence? The song, remember that Saul killed 1,000 and David 10,000? Isn't that the one that initiated Saul's jealousy? It's coming back again. Through that, he's been rejected by the Philistine princess. Princess. All right. Now, the camera angle is changed from King Saul, who was in the Endor with the medium. Now, you change it back to the David. I told you guys, there's always a big prize when we backslide, when Christians backslide. And there's consequences. Now we see David and his men were told they would go into the battle against the Israeli people, their own people. Battle line was drawn because the Philistines invade Israel territory, deep invasion, and that's why Saul had to fight back. But where is the Saul? Where was the Saul? Remember what we studied last Thursday? What he was told by the medium, and remember the strange appearance of the dead, very dead, Samuel, right? You will be with me, your son, and you will be with me tomorrow. In other words, you're going to be dead meat tomorrow, right? When he faced a major battle, shouldn't he repent? Shouldn't he make the right with God? Maybe, God willing, he would relent so that he could win the battle for the Israeli people. That would be the right attitude, right? Yeah. What did Saul do? He resigned his destiny. And in other words, he rather die than what? Repent. You know, you got to have a really hard heart, prideful, arrogant heart, even including when you're facing even death, you would not repent. That's exactly where the Saul is. And this anointed future king of Israel, David, now living in the territory of his enemy, and he's supposed to attack with the true enemy of God. If that's not bad enough, and there's a princess of the Philistine, Lozel of the Philistine, demand explanation from Achish why he is a part of the military, their military. So when we hear the things that I observe, interpret, when we turn away from God, we may soon find ourselves in an awkward place in a difficult situation we never thought we would be. Make sense? Achish came quickly to David's defense because he did not know the truth about David's loyalty to the Philistine. What did he say to Achish? Oh yeah, we invade here, we invade there, we destroy this. I'm sure he brought some spoils from the places. But was it true? Did he actually go after the people in Israel? No. He just made them think that he was doing. In the meanwhile, what did he do? He killed everyone. No survivors left behind. So there won't be any witness against him. Yes? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tying up the loose end. Coming from the new Joiji with the mafia connection, right? Besides, he's Italian. There's a lot of connection there. All right. Unbelievers, listen, unbelievers may not do what the Bible tells us to do, but they do know what Christians are supposed to do. What are the Christians supposed to do in the unbeliever's mind? Yeah, what does unbelievers think that we should not do? We should never sin and we should not do. Okay? Are we supposed to cuss or not?
No.
Are we supposed to drink or not?
No.
Are we supposed to smoke or not?
No.
Or chew? They think that we should practically be perfect, and none of us are. And that's a stereotype of their mindset. But when we do something in their eyes, and they, typical word is, so that's what Christians supposed to do, or not to do. They're rebuking. We're going to face that in our study in Genesis, where the king, Pharaoh of Egypt will rebuke Abram for his deception. All right. Yes, Manny? But they don't want to do, though. They don't want to do what the Bible says. Yeah. It makes them feel better. The leaders of Philistines reasoned properly according to common practice of mankind. Actually, it was good for David that they were such a good politicians. It was ordered by the gracious providence of God that they refused to let David go with them to this battle, in which he must have been either the enemy of his country or the false to his newly pledged alliance with the king Achish. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Had he fought the Philistine, and for Philistine, he would fight against God and his people. And if he didn't fight, now all of a sudden he would be right smack dab surrounded by this Philistine people. He was stuck in very awkward place and difficult situation. After all these years, Philistine leaders still remember their number one song, the Israel pop chart. Saul killed 1,000 and David killed 10,000. And God is using these very songs to rescue David. And that, you know, you guys know this. That song, as I mentioned, that song initiated the chase by Saul against David. Now it's rescuing him. If someone chooses to be neutral, not for God or not for Satan, is the same thing as saying no to God. Have you ever heard people say, well, I'm not against God. I'm just agnostic. Have you heard that phrase? I think I mentioned this. The definition of agnostic coming from Latin word ignoramus. And guess what kinds of word we get in English? In other words, person who claimed to be agnostic says, I have no idea what I'm talking about. Yeah, ignorant. When they say, I don't choose God, nor I choose Satan, they just, by saying that, they choose against God. And you may say, well, where do you find it? I'm glad you asked. Matthew chapter 12, please. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. Jesus speaking. If you have red letter Bible, it's in red, right? He who is not with me is somewhat against or somewhat for me, right? Does it say that? It says clearly against me. He who does not gather with me scattered abroad. I think that's rather clear. All right, back to chapter 29 of 1 Samuel, verse 6. Yes, sir.
Back with when the king said, David, I'm going to make you part of my guard.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, he's going to be one of the bodyguards.
Yeah.
Which a bodyguard is the king.
Mm-hmm.
So David may not be going to battle. Time out. Just take
lop his head off, right?
And I know that. And then the prince.
Kill him.
They're all dead meat. Mm-hmm. The battle could be there.
Yeah. Like I said, it's a very difficult situation.
Yes, sir.
And when we stand against God, as a backslider. That's what happened to us. Good. All right, verse 6. Achish called David and said to him, surely as the Lord lives, you have been upright. You're going out and you're coming in with me in the army is good in my sight. For to this day I have not found evil in you since the day you're coming to me. Nevertheless, the Lord's do not favor you. Therefore, return now and go in peace, that you may not displease the Lord's of the Philistines. Okay. What is your interpretation for this? We participate. Okay. I know. Take your time. Anyone? Yes, Manny. Jerry. Okay. Observation. Interpretation. What does it mean to you? Okay. There is that minor theme that I mentioned, providence of God. Yes, Manny.
Is a,
correct.
Is a person that's speaking.
We don't see anywhere, do we?
But here is speaking on this. Okay. I believe he's more like and swearing by the script on David.
Why do you think they swear by your God?
Yeah.
Why do you say his God?
I don't
do you see anywhere in the text? Do you see anywhere in the text? Good. Good point. Okay.
Basically.
Good job. Very good job. I was pushing you to come up with that. Okay. Who else? This is what I see. The compromised step to the pit is paved with an intention of all the intentional bad decision from our part. Let me say one more time. Compromise step to the pit is paved with our intentional bad decisions. Am I correct? Are you guys awake? Yes, no? Does Satan make a decision for us? Can. Let me ask you this. Does Satan have a capacity to make a decision for you? No. Hold on. Before you. Okay, I'm zeroing to you. Say it again. So does he have a decision capability in your heart? Does he have a capability to make up your mind? Okay. Remember that. Devil made me to do it does not work. Devil can tempt you, but he cannot make you to do it. Who make a final decision? We do. Buck stop with us. Passing the buck to someone else, especially to Satan, does not work. Okay. Second thing, backsliding does not start overnight. I'm going to explain a little more. Achish was so thoroughly deceived by David's loyalty to him that he even compared David as one angel sent by his pagan gods. Here's the thing that the man he mentioned. Achish here swore by God, Yahweh of Israel. Whenever you see L-O-R-D with a capital L, is referring in the Old Testament, is Yahweh, Y-H-W-H. Okay? And or is Elohim, plural tense of God, Hebrew God. However, his reference in verse 9, the angel of God, is a less specific. I'm sorry, my bad. Thank you. Because Achish was using the word Elohim in the verse 6, and then he does not specify in there. And this is the same as a medium. Remember last week we talked about this, and the King Saul met. And it is not because he or she understood the Trinity, meaning of the Trinity, but he was one of the worshippers of the polytheistic gods. He was just trying to please accommodate David's need, since he is being rejected. Can I change the slide? Yes, no? No, not yet. Done? Okay. God is using Achish to stop David from the sinning against himself and Israel. David's backsliding. When did it start? Come on, somebody tell me. Huh? When did it start? So, what did he do? He left the field after the conversation with Jonathan. Then he went to the Ahimelech, where he got the food, showbread food. And then he left again with the sword of the Goliath. Where did he go? He went to the Gath. And who was the king? Achish. Same Achish. In chapter 21. That's the start. And he pretended to be the madman. Remember that? He was drooling. And he's scratching the door. And Achish said, do I need more madmen? I already have a plenty. Why do you import another madman? And then he did everything, not everything. He did a lot of good things. He even saved the King Saul's life. How many times? At least twice, right? And after that, he got tired of living as a fugitive. By now, he's living like 8-9 years in the wilderness being chased by Saul. I'm sure he got old. And he decided he consult himself. It's better for me to go to the Philistine so where Saul would not chase me. Was he right? Yeah. Saul would not go to Philistine territory to chase King David. David. So David started with not trusting God, going into Gath, Philistine territory. And then that took him to the further end. Now he became a servant of Achish. Remember this, folks. Backsliding does not start overnight. You don't wake up in the morning and you say, oh, today is a good day, so I'm going to be a backslider. You don't do that. Go to Proverbs chapter 25, please. Proverbs 25, verse 26. If the godly compromise with the wicked, it is like a polluting fountain or mudding a spring. Compromise starts with a series of step down. I've known the people who have walked with Christ for a long time, and then all of a sudden they fall into the blatant and obvious sin. They lower the guard somewhere and decide to compromise. And before that comes complete desertion from the Lord, there's a series of steps. Are you with me? In the same way, no one suddenly backslides. We see someone who fall away from the Lord and we say, how did that happen? They seem to be doing so well. And notice, the step may have been taken in secret, but it's clearly they being taken. Every moment of every day, you are building up your spiritual character or weakening it. Let me give you the true story. Another Calvary Chapel pastor. His church was doing really well, growing leaps and bounds. And they finally got their own building, renting from the renting to their own building. They got the building done. It was about 1,000 congregation. And then this pastor asked Pastor Chuck Smith when he was alive to come and do the building dedication. Of course, being a Pastor Chuck, he flew all the way out there and did the building dedication. It went on, and in the midweek service, he preached, and some people raised their hand at the end of the service, commit their life to Christ. One of them came forward, and he dumped a bunch of things on the stage. He said, I'm a heroin addict. I was a heroin addict, but the Lord saved me. I don't need this anymore. I have Jesus. So pastor prayed for him, pat on his back, go with God. We'll see you Sunday. Everybody left. He said, well, I cannot leave this thing here. I need to take it to the office. Picked him up, head to his office. On the way to his office, he said, my back's been hurting. You know the story. He just did it one time. And you may say, well, nobody goes to the addict with one shot. He was a heroin addict before he became a Christian. Yeah. All that success got into his head. And you may say, well, then isn't that all of a sudden? No. We may not have seen it. That might be the turning point, but his mindset was making a step. Remember the series of steps. You may start with a very innocent thing. That's why when I sent out her prayers, when you do the counseling, number one, when you do the counseling of opposite sex, there better be a window or there better be your wife inside with you, because you don't do a counseling of the opposite sex alone. And if she starts to cry, hand out the box of Kleenex. Never go around or give a hug. You don't do that. And I told him, I threatened, of course, as usual, if I ever hear you compromising, I'm going to come after you. He doesn't even faze anymore because I threatened him too many times. Folks, it starts with innocence. Seems like innocence. Remember what Martin Luther said, the reformer said. We cannot stop the bird flying over our head, but certainly we can stop the bird making a nest on our head. And you may say, I'm not a pastor. I don't have to worry about that kind of thing. Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah. How many years? Uh-huh. 3 years. Diane, you have my blessing to slap him upside the head. Christian must be on guard all the time, as Bill said. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ through the Word of God. It requires diligence from us. It demands discipline and priorities. Oh, how we all need this desperately. Please remember this. Nobody automatically drift into the spiritual growth and stability, but anybody can drift out of dedication and growth. There are three things. The first three things will disappear from your life if you start to backslide. You'll stop going to church. You'll stop praying. You will stop reading the Bible. I guarantee you. Yeah. Write it down, please. Three things all the backslider will stop doing. Number one, stop going to church. Stop reading the Bible. Stop praying. Someone said this very wisely. When you have when you wake up in the morning on Sunday and feel like, oh, I don't feel like to go to church, that's the day you need to go to church. Verse 8. I'm sorry? One more. Today, take a necessary step to build up your spiritual character to prevent a fall like Peter's or David's. Let's go to verse 8. So David said to Achish, but what have I done? And to this day, what I have you found in your servant as long as I have been with you, that I may not go and fight against who? Against who? The enemies of my Lord and King. Then the Achish answered and said to David, I know that you are as good in my sight as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to the battle. Now therefore, rise early in the morning with your master's servant who have come with you. And as soon as you are up early in the morning and have light, depart. So David and his men rose early to depart in the morning to return to the land of Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. All right? Interpretation time. Observation. Make an interpretation. Yes, Manny? No? Nobody else?
He fights with pretty much the reason that desperation.
Yeah, that's what you just said is exactly what we talked about in the beginning. We get further and further problem. Yeah, good interpretation. All right. Who else? Yep. His situation is really bad. Anyone else? Good. What kind of situation was it? You don't have to go into any specifics. Why do you say that? Making wrong choices?
Okay. Good.
When we begin to backslide, we really don't think, don't we? While we are sinning against God, we don't think how low we're going to be. I read some of the articles about these burglars or the robbers. When they choose to rob somebody or burglarize some place, they don't think about getting caught and holding the plaque like this and like this. Right? They think about using their money, enjoying whatever they want to do. When we backslide, we don't think of how low we are going to be end up. Another thing that I see here is by using utter desperation of our rock bottom failure and sin, God's providence works through in our lives. Sometimes we get rejected from the people who we should not hang around, but we do, and we get rejected. And then we realize, oh, that was God after all. Let me put it this way. Providence is a lot like a Hebrew writing. Do you know that? When you read it, you cannot figure out what the heck that means. Hebrew writing, because it's written backward, from right to left instead of left to right. Providence, you don't see hand of God until you start to look from the future to the past. Then all of a sudden realize, oh, that's why he did what he did. Am I making sense? Have you been there where you only to realize that's what he did? Yes, Manny?
Yeah.
Second Corinthians says Old Testament was written for our what? Example. All right. I don't know whether David was ready to fight against Israel or not at this point, but he at least act like one. This is where David's backsliding hit the rock bottom. And he couldn't go any lower because he was, at least he says he is willing to fight against his own people. There's my interpretation. When we begin to backslide, we never think we will sink as low as we sometimes do. Make sense? Next paragraph is a very important. I want you to pay attention. When you're done writing, let me know. You all done? You probably noticed that the stage of backsliding. The believer who begins to drift from the Word of God will soon start to doubt the Word of God, and they will that will lead them to become dull toward the Word of God, and this will result in despising the Word of God. So starting with drifting and doubting, dull with the Word of God, and despising the Word of God. I forgot that Templeton, the guy who was pretty much the same caliber as Billy Graham at the beginning. Templeton was a Canadian guy, and actually people thought he would be more prominent than the Billy Graham. And he decided to reject God, and he walked away from God. When he, at the end of his life, he had an interview with a Christian reporter, and he said, Templeton said, I miss Jesus. But he would not reject, he would not denounce his atheism that he proclaimed. He died with rejection of God. Like a Saul, remember what I said? Because he's so prideful, instead of making it right with God, he died with the rejection. It is a fearful thing to fall into the Lord's hand for chastening, but it is a wonderful thing to fall into his hand for the cleansing and restoration. I kind of used the title of the Jonathan Edwards, fearful thing to fall into the hand of an angry God. Right? But we find that David coming back to him in next chapter. I have three applications. Number one, in Christian life, can I change the slide? You ready, Monique? Can I change it? First one, in Christian life, there is no such a thing as a standing still. Either we are progressing or regressing. You show me a Christian who is not growing in the Lord, and I will show you that that the same person is a progress of the falling away from God. Backsliding is not only the falling into sin, is a staying in it, but also a failure to moving toward God. I like what the Pastor Chuck Smith said. If you are not close to God today, then yesterday you have a backslidden. It's cold truth. Second application. We are no longer welcome in the world with our identity, the children of God. Remember, either you are for God or what? Against God. There's no such a thing as a standing still. Third application. Our faithfulness, God's faithfulness for us is still displays in the midst of our sins. That's what we call the providence of God. Amen? Let's stand up and pray.